Good morning, Episcopalians. Have a seat. I think most of you know who I am. I'm Dave McGrath, in case you don't know. I have very mixed feelings about being up here again today, and here's why. I am drawn to microphones, like bees to the honey, and the idea of my voice being amplified through this beautiful church gets me almost as excited as an Aaron Rodgers 61-yard Hail Mary pass. So I do like to get up here when I get to read the wonderful words that others have written. Today I've written these words. It could be a little dicey. We'll see. Those of you who know me well know that I traffic in sarcasm, humor, self-deprecation, and good-natured verbal jousting. I am not the next William Buckley, Bobby Kennedy, Winston Churchill, Herman Welk, or Pope John Paul II. Nothing deep or historical is going to come out of my mouth today. Nothing compassionate ever comes out of my mouth. I didn't get that gift. I don't have that gene. So when I was offered the opportunity to redeem myself from that last spectacle, I think Father Matthew asked me sometime this summer if I wanted to do this again. I actually thought about it long and hard, and my response to myself always was, no, 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 don't do it. But two people suggested that I might have something to offer. We'll see how this one goes, and if it doesn't go well, I'll give you their names, and then you can do what you think you have to do to them. Father Matthew did forward me the today's readings, forwarded them to me back in November, and I reread that Galatians reading probably 50 times. And every time I read it, it sounded like the instruction manual. You know this, the instruction manual for a complicated piece of electronics written by someone who just started up English as a second language class. I didn't get it. I didn't understand the reading. So I couldn't use that one as a platform. The gospel did not need any blathering from me. You heard the gospel. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The translation on that is, God is the boss of everything. That's it. That's all. Nothing to discuss here, so move on, Dave. So I moved on to Isaiah, the reading you heard from BJ today. Sounded good. Sounded like God was going to fix everything. I just couldn't figure out when, why, where, or how he's going to do that. So that would have made a very awkwardly short sermon. However, in that reading, I did notice a few lines that caught my eye. I was drawn to them. Those lines were, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. So after a number of readings of those lines, I knew what I really wanted to talk to you about today. And today, it only take about 5 minutes. It's not the historical context of those two sentences, because I really don't know what that was. So no ancient history lesson today. What I want to do is I want to overlay those two sentences on one of the most popular tools in social media today, and then ask you to tell me how I, or any self-described Christian, should comport him or herself on Facebook. Now, some of you may not be on Facebook. You may all know what Facebook is. But what I'm going to talk about today, the same kind of behavior also applies to what you see on cable news TV, be it Fox, MSNBC, CNN. If you watch the political debates, if you watch the Sunday network news shows, even in newspaper editorial pages across the country, the same behavior exists. And you'll understand what I'm talking about. But today I'm specifically talking about Facebook. Simply put, Facebook gives us all our own radio and TV stations, our own newspapers, where we can sell stuff, we can tell you stuff, we can share stuff. It gives us all a chance to blow our own horns, you know, show our vacation pictures, wedding pictures, the new baby pictures, show distant relatives how big the kids are getting. We can post funny videos of our dogs and our cats, promote an upcoming event that we're taking part in, and we can kid each other about the Packers and the Bears. So I think when used in that polite, judicious, and positive sense, and positive manner, you know, like the Bears still suck, it's a great tool. Jeff Greeley, who's normally sit behind me here at the 10:30 service in the choir, yesterday Jeff posted a meme with four different cultural images of what the baby Jesus would look like to different cultures. And then he wrote, no matter how we imagined the Christ child, he came to save us all. Glory to God in the highest. That's a good use of Facebook. Guida Brown, my bride back there, started a Facebook page called Bringing Respect Back. It's a good use of Facebook. However, when we use it to spread hypocrisy, hate, poison, or to maliciously denigrate others' political and or religious points of view, Facebook becomes a sewer. I must tell you, I am what they call a stalker on Facebook. I rarely post anything, and I occasionally will comment on cute babies, funny dogs, and my beloved Green Bay Packers. I use my Facebook to see what my kids are doing, spy on the nieces and nephews, and that's about it. I don't do a lot of posting. Now, as Americans, we're all welcome to agree or disagree with each other's politics. Also, as Americans, we're all constitutionally free, almost to the nth degree, to spew vitriol. But, sad as it is, today, me, of all people, Dave McGrath stands here to tell some of you that it's not how a Christian acts. We, along with God in heaven, have set the bar much higher for ourselves, as it should be. So I ask you to ask yourself, and then tell me, if we as Christians should be spewing hate and venom and spreading fallacious material on a very public stage in order to marginalize and demonize anyone for their religion, for their politics, or simply their opinions, just because we disagree with them. Is that what Christians do? Destroy people and their reputations? Now, discounting the evildoers in the world, like terrorists and mass murderers, who would probably just prefer to kill you than look at your precious Facebook postings, should we do that to anyone? Anybody we disagree with? Is that how a Christian acts? I don't think so. Now, many of you wear those, proudly wear those, and conscientiously wear those WWJD bracelets. What would Jesus do? And I ask you, and this is actually an interesting concept. If Jesus had a Facebook page, would he do that on his Facebook page? Would Jesus verbally crucify someone like Dr. Ben Carson, Bernie Sanders, Paul Ryan, Scott Walker, Peter Barca? I want to tell you a story. One day not so long ago, when I didn't get my daily dose of chocolate, I called someone out for their boorish, unchristian behavior on Facebook. This goes back to those two lines from today's reading in Isaiah. That day, for my Christianity's sake, I decided I would not keep silent. That day, for my Christianity's sake, I decided I would not rest. And I decided the hypocrisy should be called out. So someone please tell me if I'm wrong. Christians should not act that way, should they? Christians don't treat other people that way, do we? And as a Christian, should I stand by, shrug my shoulders as I see that and allow that to happen? Should I do that? Is that what a Christian does? Now, I'll tell you this. In that instance of calling that person out for hateful sentiments, I misused Facebook. I'm part of the problem. Those messages should have been sent to that person in a private email. I called them out in public. Probably embarrass that person. My wife, Guida, who is my own personal police chief, called me out on that, and that'll never happen again. It was the wrong thing to do. So just a warning, if I come up to you and want to talk to you, you should always, always ask me first if I had my chocolate that day. Because bad things always happen when I don't get my chocolate. I'm okay today. Nancy Roeder gave us some Frango mints for Christmas, and I ate five of them this morning, so I'm good. But I digress. What I'd like to do now is give you a couple of examples of what I think are real good Christian acts right here in our church. These are ones I know about. I hope all of you do good Christian things, but these are some I know about. What I think Christians should be doing. Follow the example of my friend John Cushman. John's always at the 10:30 service, he and his wife Jenny Cobb. John made a difference. He made a difference. He recently volunteered his time and his treasure, and he helped the destitute people of Haiti on a mission trip with the Milwaukee Diocese Haiti Project. And then John came here and he told a story. He told all of us how $250 out of our pockets, $250 a year out of our pockets, could make $1 million difference in a child's life in Haiti. For $250, you can sponsor a child, and that child will get to go to school for a year, and when they go to school, they get to eat lunch. So for $250, you can change a generation in Haiti. Or you can do what my wife Guida did for Christmas presents this year. She had a very novel idea. Every Christmas present she gives is paying it forward. She bought people, friends, nieces, nephews, she bought them water bottles for gifts. And the company that made those water bottles donated portions of those proceeds to projects that deliver fresh drinking water to some of the most destitute and poorest parts of the world. She bought others some t-shirts that had, I think we're all old enough to remember, when you took out a library book at the library, the little card that was in the book, and then you stamped the return date on it. So that t-shirt had those dates stamped on it. And the company that made those shirts donated a portion of their profit to provide books to people less fortunate, schools that needed books. So simply put, just do God's work. On whatever level you can do it, just do God's work. We all know that biblical evergreen from Matthew, the saint, not the rector. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. It's just that simple. So now we come here every week and we hear good things. We're told how we should spread the love of Jesus, how we should love one another, how we should be kind to one another, and how we should do good works. Three words sum that up very nicely. Do unto others. A friend of mine would tell me from time to time, you know, Dave, we should all use our gifts to glorify the Lord. Get off your best intentions and do something for Him. So, today, my message to you is pretty brief and concise. If you are one of those people, or you know someone who does this, spreading hate, spewing venom, ridiculing others on Facebook, or worse, doing it in person, just because you want to show everybody else how smart you are, or that your beliefs make you a better person than that other person. Next question I ask you, what do you think he would say to you? How would you answer him if he asked you what you were doing? Now, I'm not naive enough to think that what I did that day on Facebook mattered to anyone but me. But again, that day, again referring to Isaiah, I could not keep silent, I could not rest. Now, as I said the last time I was privileged to speak with you from here, I'm a pretty average Christian. I'm not a very good Episcopalian, because I come to St. Matthew's because of the fellowship and I have so many friends here. Organized religion does not do a lot for me. The rote prayers mean very little to me. The up and down, the standing, the kneeling, the sitting, I find it a little tedious, and I think it also caused my sciatica. But if you get something from it, and I know people who do, they get a lot of comfort when they come to this service, they come to this church. If you get something from it, trust me, I'm very happy for you. You can also trust that I won't be mocking you for it on Facebook, for your beliefs, what you believe in, what you like to do as a religious ritual. Not a single Christian should, and shame on them if they do. All of us who proclaim that we are Christians owe everyone that same common decency, simple respect. We seem to have lost respect for the family of man. Incidentally, that person I challenged on Facebook that day decided to no longer be my friend, but I'm okay with that because Jesus still loves me and I am blessed. And I know that because Bishop Stephen Miller put that on my Facebook page. So please go do God's work today and every day, and you too will be blessed and you will feel blessed. Amen.